Is our Middle East strategy about to blow up in our faces? Do we even have a Middle East strategy at all? Our next guest just posted this on X and says, what happens in Gaza is not going to go away. It's left a permanent mark on the people of the region. They were told they too are animals. They deserve the worst, that they too deserve to be exterminated. They will not tolerate this. This is going to blow up in everyone's face. And over the past 24 hours, multiple missile strikes, massive strikes by Iran on Israeli Mossad targets in Iraq, claiming to have hit a Mossad headquarters. So shit has hit the fan by all accounts. And the man that predicted it is here with us right now, Colonel Douglas McGregor. Colonel, welcome back to the show. I mean, you were spot on in what was about to happen here, blowing up in everyone's face. This sort of Mideast strategy by the Biden administration doesn't appear to be a strategy at all. What is your assessment over the past 24 hours of these massive strikes?
Well, I don't think it's an accident that these strikes were launched during the Iowa caucus period. I think these strikes are meaningful on multiple levels. First of all, you had very precise targeting and the use of extremely effective precise ballistic missiles that penetrated all the air defense networks that exist on our side and in Iraq, in Syria, and so forth. So they managed to get these missiles through. And if you look at the targets, one it was a house that contained a Mossad agent. He happens to be Kurdish, but he's a Mossad agent working for the Israelis and his family in that house. And as far as I know, he and his family members were vaporized. People initially tried to argue it was a strike against us. No Americans were targeted. All the targets were related to Israeli operatives, Kurdish operatives, and ISIS operatives up in Syria who were involved in the killings, the killings of leading figures in Lebanon by the Israelis and the killings of Iranian troops in Syria. So this was not accidental. It was carefully planned. And remember, the Iranians had said that there will be a reckoning. We will strike back. And they did nothing for, you know, some period of time. And then suddenly, right on schedule with the caucus, you get these very precise missile strikes. On another level, they were trying to demonstrate, if you think we're a pushover, if you want to go to war with us, understand something. We can do this all over the region, particularly in Israel. And they have an enormous missile arsenal that could level Israeli cities. And they know that the next step towards escalation, which is what the Israelis are doing, and we've now escalated in support of them against Yemen, is to attack Hezbollah or precipitate a conflict with Hezbollah that allows the Israelis with support from us to go in and obliterate most of southern Lebanon. And they've simply said, you know, we're going to be in a position to strike back, and it will be something that you're not prepared for. That was the message. So this is another step, I should say not a step, but we're sliding further down the mountainside into the ravine of despair and war. And there is no strategy. Our strategy in the Middle East is to do exactly what Mr. Netanyahu wants us to do. That's all. He has far more influence in Washington than Biden. And Biden has said, yes, send them. Yes, yes, yes. Remember, Biden, if you go back and look at him in the past, he had a number of red lines in Eastern Europe. He said, well, we're not going to give the Ukrainians any of our tanks. We're not going to give the Ukrainians rocket artillery. We're not going to give the Ukrainians X, Y, Z. We're not going to give them any tactical ballistic missiles. We're not going to do these things because it would mean World War III. It could mean World War III. What's he done? He's crossed all of those red lines. Mm-hmm. Now, none of it has worked, and Ukraine is finished. It's prostrate. Millions of people have left the country. The country is in abject poverty. The government is criminal in terms of its corruption and behavior. It's more oppressive than any other government in the region. And yet we continue to feed this myth that somehow or another this is a fight for freedom. It has nothing to do with it. It's all a fight to harm Russia, which hasn't worked. But no one wants to admit that. Though you go to the Middle East, one war is winding down. The new war is ramping up. And there are people who think that if we provide enough air and naval power to the Israelis and some special ops forces, that they can pretty much do whatever they want, and they can dominate the same old Arabs and Turks and Iranians that they've always dominated. Wrong. The region has changed, and it's enraged.
In Washington, of course, the argument is that it's in our strategic interest to assist Israel in this massive military way. It's in our strategic interest to do all of that. John Mearsheimer, in his book, The Israel Lobby, argues, greatly researched, that it's absolutely not in our American interest to do anything. Every time we bomb a Middle Eastern country, it comes back to bite us in the ass. 2 days ago, President Biden said at a public event, he was asked about whether or not Iran would attack us and be involved in this. And he said, I've delivered a clear message to Iran. They're not going to do anything. And 24 hours, 48 hours later, we see this. So who's running the show here? I mean, it seems to me that Biden is out to lunch. He's a puppet. He's not running anything.
Well, I think Mr. Netanyahu is ultimately in charge. And remember, he's an extraordinarily intelligent man. I think he's a bit deranged when it comes to the future of his own country and the region, but he's in charge and his agents on the Hill are in charge. And who are these? I mean, Lindsey Graham, it's bombs away. Let's flatten Yemen and then let's fly on to Iran and flatten Iran. There are problems with all of these things because Iran is a far stronger, more capable and technologically sophisticated state today than it was 30 or 40 years ago. The same thing is true for Turkey. The same thing is true for the Arab states. There is a reportedly some sort of firefight that's gone on along the border between Gaza and Egypt, between Egyptian troops and Israelis. I don't know what this means. I don't know what will happen, but the whole region is on tenterhooks. It's ready to explode. And the people in charge in many of these countries like Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, Jordan, Egypt, they don't want a war. Of course they don't want a war. But if they don't act decisively against the Israelis, their populations will remove them. That's where we're headed. We're going to start to see governments tumble because this is a regional matter, as you pointed out at the beginning. You can't say the things and then do the things that they've done without precipitating this hostility and this response. And Iran, of course, knows we've been talking about attacking them for years. So this was a message that said, don't do it. If you do it, we're prepared, we will fight, and it will be devastating. And by the way, has anybody thought about the consequences for the oil and gas industry and the distribution of energy coming out of the region, its impact on the whole globe? I haven't heard any. Do people understand that this will disrupt supply chains, that this could tank economies? And then there sit the Chinese, who absolutely want nothing to do with a war with anybody under any circumstances. And they are acutely dependent not only on the oil and gas coming out of the Persian Gulf, but on food from West Africa. What are they going to do? I think the Chinese will reluctantly join with the Russians and they will back whomever we attack and ultimately probably will be drawn in some fashion. So then I worry about the nuclear dimension, which a lot of people sort of dismiss out of hand. But I'm not worried about us. I'm worried about the Israelis and their readiness to use that. And that's a fear in the region. And that fear precipitates what? The development or the acquisition of nuclear capabilities by others, the Turks, the Iranians, potentially even the Saudis. So, excuse me, this thing is out of control. We have no strategy. We haven't defined our interests. And we have always been in a position to pick up the phone and call and say, stop. If you don't stop, we'll end all supplies to you immediately and withdraw all of our forces. That's not going to happen because Mr. Netanyahu really is in charge.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. Spot on as always. The man who predicted it, Colonel Douglas McGregor, thank you as always for joining us. We really appreciate your insights.
Sure. Thank you, Clayton. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for watching this segment here at Redacted. We are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, trying to share the stories that the mainstream media will not cover. You should also come over and join our community of Redacted Rebels over at redacted.inc. That's our private locals community where we can share exclusive content that we simply cannot share here on YouTube. Come over and join the rebellion together right now by going to redacted.inc. We'll see you next time.